You're listening to Gerald Fleury and the Key of David on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm.
What is Jesus Christ doing right now? After all, he, about 2,000 years ago, he ascended to heaven. And what has he been doing for those about 2,000 years of time? What has he been doing? You will be amazed, I think, if you look into this more and more, because he has been busy night and day. He's been assigned a commission by his Father, and that's directed at you. He's looking out for you. He's obviously already died on the cross or the stake, but he's not dead. He's not dead now. He's alive and doing the greatest work in this world, the greatest work by far. If you look into the book of Hebrews, it'll tell you what his position is and what he is doing today. And it tells you in Hebrews 1 and verse 3 that he has all this power and even sustains the universe, the entire universe, by the word of his power. He sustains it and upholds it and keeps things in motion, in force, with his laws. That would be the laws of physics, chemistry, gravity. He sustains all of that with the word of his power. That's quite a lot of power, and he wants to use that power on your behalf. And he has promised to do so, not only in the future, but today. Today as well. The most important commission on this earth is his, and he does it through his people with all of that power. And why is it we don't hear more about that today? Why don't we hear more about that, what he's doing right now? Because we all need to know, and you certainly need to know how much it relates to you. You really need to know that. Let me read you a quote from Herbert W. Armstrong, who was the physical head of the Worldwide Church of God for many years. And here's what he said just a few months before he died to his own people. He said, "Jesus Christ is the living, dynamic head of it, and he did this work, and he directs all of its activities and all of its work. And it has a great work to perform, which is the greatest work on the face of this earth today, and the greatest privilege that could come to any living human being that a number of thousands of people share with me is that of being his instruments in that very, very great work of carrying his living message, his living gospel to the whole world today." So he's alive and doing this dynamic work through his very elect. He promised to do that. And he says now that you have to allow him to give you faith and use and exercise that living faith so that you might be able to fulfill what you're here on this earth to fulfill. And certainly there is a first fruit group that's called out before his second coming that's going to rule with him over the entire earth and the universe. He is, after all, the God of the universe. And he's leading his very elect, his people, to become his bride. All of those called out before Jesus Christ returns, which is really, really imminent. Notice Hebrews 4 and verse 13. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." So we can't hide. See, everything is naked before God's eyes. We can't hide. We can't act like this isn't true. Sooner or later, and usually later, people have to come to know that God is alive and doing a great work. Even today, it's going to be greater in the world tomorrow, but it is truly dynamically powerful even today. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Jesus Christ is our great high priest. He was assigned that job by his Father and is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We have a great high priest. A great high priest is there to help us spiritually. Obviously, that's what that high priest's main function is. Verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched or sympathize with the feeling of our infirmities and weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Look, you have a high priest that really sympathizes with your problems, your weaknesses, your difficulties. And he can be touched, he can be moved, and he can be stirred to help you. That's in your Bible here in Hebrews in the New Testament. That is directly aimed at you and me, all of us. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to God. Don't stay where you are. In other words, let's go come boldly to God and use that power and that might that God is it will give us. Unto the throne of grace, that is by faithful prayer, not just prayer, but it has to be a prayer in faith if you're going to go boldly before God with your infirmities and your weaknesses and your sins so you can really repent of those sins, that we may obtain mercy. We all need mercy, and God renders mercy. Our high priest renders mercy. And find grace to help in time of need. Do you want help in time of need? Do you and I really, really want help in time of need? Do we want God to help us? That's why He's there, to help us and build character in us. The Moffat reads, so let us approach the throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the hour of need. We all have needs. We all have some times when we really need help. And of course, God designed it that way, so we'd come to Him and build the very holiness and righteousness of God Himself. So, the reason many of us don't get answers to our prayers is because we don't come boldly before His throne. In faith, asking for the help that we desperately need. But most time, the time, people don't see those needs, and they should, and they could, if they really knew their Bibles. They'd see what those needs are and what we ought to be doing. But He's just saying, look, you have to come after Me. I'm not forcing this on people. I'm not pushing it on them. You have to come after Me. And then amazing miracles will take place in your life. I'll guarantee you that. Christ is our high priest, and He has a twofold commission of getting this message to the world through His very elect, His people. He speaks before the world, but how does He do that? Well, He does it through His people. He does it through His people. And then after getting that message to the world, well, He also feeds His sheep. Sheep need to be fed or they starve. And we have to be fed spiritually or we die. Or we've never lived, had the opportunity to even live yet. But all people that have lived are going to have an opportunity to live God's way of life through a resurrection. That's made clear in many scriptures. Notice Hebrews 5 and verse 6. Here's something that God is doing right now that He wants His very elect to be doing. Verse 6, I'll just give you a little background first of all. As He said also in another place, you are a priest forever after the order or rank of Melchizedek. Melchizedek, that God of the Old Testament, was just the one who became Jesus Christ. That's That's made clear, and if you don't understand that, we'll send you material so that you will understand it, and it will cost you nothing. But I'll tell you, if when you talk about Melchizedek, and it's talked about here in the New Testament, certainly it's talked about a great deal in the Old Testament, but it's one of the greatest mysteries in the Bible. And you need to understand it. We have literature that will explain that to you. Verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, that's Christ when he was on this earth, unto him that was able to save him from death, and he was heard in that he feared God. Now, he was saved from death, the second death. Because one sin and he would have died forever. And he was heard in that he feared God, his Father. Now most people think, well, that's just the activity there at Gethsemane, the final night of his life. But no, it isn't. That's just a pattern throughout his life of him praying and with strong crying and tears, because with just one sin, he would have died and none of us would have any opportunity for a future life. Now that is quite a sacrifice that God has made for us. And if he can be saved from death, the second death, and then so can we. So can we if we come to him and let him help us as he was helped by his Father. We have access to his Father as well. We go to his Father only because of what Christ did and made possible for us. Verse 11, he goes on to say what he's really concerned about here, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Now here is a people who, see, God doesn't want us to be dull of hearing and not understand our Bibles, and not understand our high priest or be close to him. He wants us to come boldly to him, and then we won't be dull of hearing. He wants to teach us. He's teaching us how to be righteous. And we can't help him. We can't be his bride. We can't share his throne if we don't have that righteousness that our Savior has. We can't share his throne if we're not righteous the way he is. That only makes sense to, people who know the Bible. But look, if you can't lose, you cannot lose if you stay close to this high priest. You cannot fail. But God wants to reveal to us more and more so that we won't be dull of hearing. He has a great job for his first fruits, those called out before the second coming of Christ. Notice what he's leading them to do. Verse 12, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Here are people that we're not learning to be teachers. God wants us to be teachers. He's preparing people today to teach this world to be Christ's helpmeet, to help him teach the world about God the Father and about Jesus Christ and about what God's plan is for mankind, for all of mankind. This world needs most of all teachers of righteousness. Look around and see what's happening to this world. We have 9 countries that have nuclear bombs, and we're facing nuclear annihilation, the very thing Christ talked about when he was on this earth. You can read that in Matthew 24, verses 21, 22. He said if he didn't come back to this earth in this time span when all this is going on, there would be no flesh saved alive, the Moffat said. Nobody saved alive if he didn't come back. Do you see that's the world we're living in now? His return is imminent. It is imminent. And I'm talking about a very few years. But it says in Revelation 19, verse 7, that his wife has made herself ready. He's getting his wife ready, if his wife will allow that, If his people will allow that, most of them are in rebellion today. That is just a fact. It's hard to get people to really give themselves to God and receive all of these wonderful blessings and the kind of help you can't even imagine how wonderful it is if you've never experienced it. Paul wanted to teach these people about their high priest. And they were dull of hearing. They couldn't even understand about their own high priest and what his vision was for them, what his plan was for them. Notice what Mr. Armstrong said, Herbert Armstrong, physical leader of the Worldwide Church of God, just a few months before he died. He said, "You can't take the strong meat of the gospel about Christ because you haven't progressed that far and you haven't learned that much about the Bible. How much do you study the Bible?" He's talking to his own people. And he saw this a lukewarm condition in his own church. And after he died, shortly after that, 95% of them turned away. Amazing. Just mind-numbing. He went on to say, "You've got to know the Bible frontward, backwards, and forwards. You've got to be able to teach the Bible. You, sitting down there, you. Can you go out and teach people the Bible? I don't think you can. I hope you can prove I'm wrong. I want to be wrong about that, but I don't think I am. I'm sorry to say." And here today, we have more revelation than the world has ever had about God. It's just, there's just an abundance of it, and we can prove that to you. And have been doing that for some time. Verse 13, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." And so you can't teach him. Verse 14, "But strong meat belongs to them that are full age or mature and growing in their spiritual lives." And it says in Matthew 18, verses 1 through 3, he said, "Unless you become as little children, you have no part with me." We have to be teachable like little children. And that's then when we really begin to learn a lot. You can read in Hebrews 8, verses 10 and 11, where it says you're in the future, in the world tomorrow, it's not going to be a situation where your neighbor's teaching you the truth or somebody out there is teaching you the truth. God is going to have teachers that he has prepared that's going to teach you when he gets here. He will have a spiritual nation that's already built. He said, "I will build my church." And in Isaiah, he said he would build a nation, a righteous nation, and it would be born at his second coming. And it will just astound the world. Or chapter 6, verse 1, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." Go on to perfection. We can have a perfect attitude, and God considers that perfection. We sin, we make mistakes, and we have to, but if we have this perfect attitude, we'll correct it very quickly when we see that we're doing something wrong. But God wants us to be perfect as the Father is perfect. Matthew 5 and verse 48, can you imagine the standard that high to become perfect as God the Father is perfect? That's just a scripture that knocks you over practically. But we do have that capacity. We can have that capacity if we want it. And God is going to give it to this world, to all mankind. You see, that teaching system and civilization that we have today is about to disappear. There's a new civilization coming, and God is going to have a nation of teachers there to teach the world how to live. You know, when you look at this world today, that there are problems that just are mind-staggering. What can we do about it? We can follow Jesus Christ's example. We can follow the example of our high priest. Hebrews 6, verses 17 and 18 says, I'll just read the last part of that, verse 18, but it says, lay hold upon the hope set before us. There's all kinds of hope, and there is no hope other than that. If we don't have this hope, there is no hope. There is a better hope, God says, than what you see in this world. It isn't really even hope. There is a better resurrection. See, God, He's going to bring us back to life if we die. And if we have this hope in us, there isn't going to be a second death. That means, of course, that you were allowed to live again and then died again because you wouldn't obey God. But He says that hope in verse 19, that hope is an anchor to your life. We need an anchor to our life. We need to be stable. We have to have hope. And look, if you don't believe in God and you look at all the nuclear bombs today and the weapons of mass destruction, let me tell you, if you don't believe in God, you don't have any hope. I think you know that. If you know what's going on in this world, but let me tell you, that's exactly what Christ said it would be 2,000 years ago when He was on this earth. He told us it was coming. And here it is, right there before our eyes now, and we're living in that time. And if you're not frightened, well, you should be. You should be, because this is a world full of fearful goings-on that is going to be just a great devastation. God says, look, I'll give you wisdom if you don't have it. But ask in faith. Don't just waver. Ask in faith. I'll give it to you. And ask that God will show you what His will is. It's right there in the Bible. And you can know what it is. Christ came to this earth to serve us, and He talked about the greatest servant, the greatest person, the greatest leader is the greatest servant, and He was the greatest servant that was ever on this earth by far, and He wants us to serve mankind and help in this work of taking His message and His joy and His happiness and His character to the world and show them how to live. The wonderful life, the really great life. You know deep down that there's something probably missing in your life. Well, there shouldn't be. God doesn't want it to be that way, but most people have turned away from God, and they don't fulfill those needs that they have. Paul even talked about Enoch, and that Jude discusses that man quite a lot. And if I don't have time to get into that, but Paul warned the Jews then and through Hebrews that there was a great crisis coming, and God's people were warned ahead of time and taken away in 69 A.D. The Holocaust was in 70 A.D., but these people were taken to a place of protection. Pella, Jordan, is where God took them to save them, and that's only a type of what is happening in this end time. You can read in Jude 14 about where God talks about bringing 10,000 saints from a place of protection to where He is at His return. And that's going on right now. Now you ought to read that little booklet of Jude. You can read it quickly and fast. But it is a powerful little book, and it talks about the measuring the minutes and the moments, and it's really the most urgent message on this earth. That's how important it is. Look, you can just listen to the scientists and the scholars, and many of them will tell you, well, look, if we don't get a world government, everything's going to be lost. And that's right. That's right. Then there is a world government that's coming. And Jesus Christ is going to be sitting on David's throne there with His bride, the people who've been prepared to be His helpmeet, help Him teach the world and show them how to live and how to have wonderful, exciting, thrilling lives, which they don't have today. Just a lot of emptiness for the most part. But I'll tell you, these problems are coming to this world. They're coming to America. They're coming to Canada. They're coming to nations all over this earth. And we talk about that all the time. about these things that ahead of time and prophesy, and then they come to pass, and you see it. This work delivers prophecies about the future, and they're just continually coming to pass. And we need to get ready for what is coming. But I'll tell you, look, how many of you really know these issues are right there in your Bible? You can go on and read this one scripture that I think you need to be aware of if you want to see what Christ is doing today. Is chapter 2 and verse 10. It talks about He's bringing many sons to glory. This is an exciting and a wonderful work. That's what Christ is doing. He's bringing many sons to glory even right now. And there's a lot more going to be coming to glory in a very short amount of time. What could be more wonderful and thrilling than that when you think about the future? Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.
Many believe they know the definition of faith, but so few actually possess it. Request our free booklet, What is Faith? By Herbert W. Armstrong. Get answers to your prayers. Free your mind from fear and worry. Build a life-changing relationship with your high priest, a perfect spiritual being who wants to help you through your trials and tests. What is Faith? By Herbert W. Armstrong will give you a thorough and complete understanding of this often misunderstood subject. Do you want to know God better? To do so, you have to know not only what He's doing now, but what He's done in the past. Request our free reprint article, God in Prehistory, to understand how God has existed for all eternity without a starting point. Learn about the two God beings, God and the Word, and their relationship with human beings like us. Learn about their dazzling glory, their perfect character, and how they want to recreate their character in you. Study this eye-opening article, God in Prehistory. Request What is Faith and God in Prehistory, and you'll also receive our free reprint article about Melchizedek, this intriguing individual knew Abraham, who paid his tithes to the king of Salem. What made this king special? Prove for yourself who this transcendent king really was, the immortal, eternal Word of God, and find out why He is so interested in mankind. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Order your two free reprint articles and What is Faith by Herbert W. Armstrong today. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629.